Welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, today talking with Mr. Wes Shanks, Upperman baseball coach, FFA, in the CTE world. Do you drive a bus?
That's one thing I don't want to do. I'll probably eventually get my CDL for that. But no, yeah. We're in education, and that means a lot. You know, Upperman High School has been a great place to work at for the last 6 years, and there's a lot of things that entail being a teacher and an educator and a coach.
A lot of hats. You wear a lot of hats.
I've got a key ring that's pretty full, more than the janitors, and people kind of look at me like, wow, you've got a lot of keys, and that's a lot of responsibilities.
Yeah, a lot of responsibilities. And and I say the bus part kind of tongue-in-cheek. So I'm originally from Coalfield, and I know you know Coalfield baseball.
Solid program.
It is. The teachers also, many of the teachers drove the buses because, you know, in a rural area, to make a couple $1,000 extra in a year is not a bad thing, but I wouldn't want that responsibility.
And just as much as a coach, you know, makes the lineup or puts the starting five out there, whatever it may be, the travel, the preparation, the planning to get to these tournaments now, you know, like we were just talking off show there a little bit, it's so much more intensive at the high school level for sports. And as a coach, you do more than just practice plan. You do more than just show up and put the lineup and tell the kids what to do. It's you got to prepare a year ahead of time, months ahead of time, weeks ahead of time, just to plan for a travel trip. You're going to have 15, 20 adolescents with parents' permission to, you know, be responsible for. And the end goal is to go be competitive at a sport. But it's also it's a challenge because you still have adolescence. You know,
right.
If it's boys baseball or if it's girls soccer, whatever it may be, you've got some underage kids and they're still kids just like they are in the classroom. Sometimes they misbehave, but the end reward is a lot of development and a lot of growth, and that's why we do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is fun. I mean, there's so much fun there in the busy and the balancing and the headaches along the way. So, well, tell me a little bit about yourself, how you got – you didn't follow – and I see this so much now, being in teacher education, you didn't follow a typical path to come into teacher ed.
I did not. I'm Wes Shanks, Upperman High School baseball, FFA advisor, locally grown here at Cookville. Grew up and actually went through several schools of Prescott Middle School, Avery Trace, and transferred down to Upperman High School, and that's where I graduated in 04. Ended up going on to Hiawatha College for a year of baseball, and then transferred to the University of Tennessee, where I got my environmental soil science degree, came back as a land surveyor for 10 years, worked in the area Upper Cumberland, and it was great. Got my license, got to see all parts of the state and southeast region. But after about 10 years, we had our first child, Alex. Alex Mullican is my wife, and we've got Cameron Shanks, 1 year old, and we're like, we need something a little more stable where I'm outside and it's cold and it's windy. It's hot summers, and some days we didn't work for whatever reason may be. And so we both changed course, and she went into education a year or two before me, and that was in the time when the job embedded programs were becoming very incentivized for people that's not in the education industry. And so I jumped in about a year or two later, and I think it was 2019. My first year as a teacher, as I went through the program at Tennessee Tech University, it was a wild year. You know, one of those first years as teachers, I tell you, just survive. Mm-hmm. Well, it was 2019 at the beginning of the year. We ended the year with COVID. Mm-hmm. And so it was a whirlwind of gathering the knowledge I needed to continue my education career, because I did have some, some mentors to lean on. My father, Wayne Shanks, was a principal, a baseball coach at Upperman High School. He won two state titles and was the most successful coach there. And now he was the principal at Upperman High School when I graduated, then went on to Cookville High School as a principal. My mom was a 31-year teacher, a chemistry teacher at Cookville High School as well. Grandmother was in the school system, and my grandfather, Walter Warren Shanks, he taught 8th grade math, and I've heard so many older people tell me, I had your grandfather in math class and at Capshaw in 8th grade, and he was a 12-year superintendent. So when I tell people I got into education, I tell them it's the family business, but it's led me to a path, and I'm happy where I'm at right now, especially we're in June. You know, as soon as we get off the radio interview here, I'm going back to the pool with my family, and we're going to make up on some lost time for summer. But it's been a fun trip, and we're excited where we're at.
Yeah, and it's gosh, having that many family members a lot of times, I'm always trying to figure out how to find teachers, how to pull people into education, because it is so rewarding, and it is, you know, it's such a great field to pull people into who have that passion. But it's hard to find people who are out and they've been surveying for 10 years. You know, I can't find you. You have to come find me and say, I really want to be a teacher now. But I do my best. But if I could factor into that formula, there's a brother that's a teacher, and there was a mom that was a teacher, and, you know, people who are educators. I see that a lot. I see educators in the family, and I see people who come to education partly because of that.
They want to try it out, or they've seen somebody or had a good experience. Mm-hmm. That's probably most of it, because most everybody that is an educator or a coach has obviously played sports, or everybody's gone through school before, and they had someone that they really enjoyed as a teacher. They had a mentor that they look back on that got them to their job in engineering or in nursing, whatever it may be. It always leads back to that foundation, which was education. And so I think a lot of that is, let's go back to where it started, and mm-hmm. a lot of people choosing that industry, it's very needed now. You know, the last 5 or 6 years, like I mentioned earlier about the job embedded program, the state with Governor Lee and even the country is trying to incentivize a lot, because it's been teaching is not the easiest thing in the world, especially in today's time where it seems that there, you know, some students. It's just a challenge. I mean, between parents, between students, financially, the time, regionally, where you are locally. So there's many challenges that you have to overcome. I say to a lot of people, it's like we try to squeeze 13 months of school into 10 months, mm-hmm. you know. And so there becomes a lot of stress, not just on the teachers, but on the students. You know, everybody wants to perform well if we're talking about athletics or education. Mm-hmm. But there's some stresses on the students, and that – you know, a teacher's role in that is to help that student through the situation. But that what students and parents don't understand is there's also some stresses on teachers to perform well. And mm-hmm. a teacher can't really take the test for the student. And so it's out of their hands. And so just like any other industry, you're performance based. But you want to make sure that financially those things add up or merge or align. And that will bring in more educators. And we've seen in the last 2 or 3 years, I've been an educator for 6 years now, and there has been some turnover, but there's been more additions than subtractions.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're kind of at the bottom of that curve, finally. I've been at Tech for quite a few years, and so I watched it go from 100 applications for one position to one application for 100 position. You know, it's flip-flopped.
I agree.
So we've kind of ridden that wave, and I'd like to see it move back up to where schools are still calling me every day. They email or call or text, and we'll get the HR director or the principal. I need a math teacher today. You know, I've lost my math teacher. I've lost my special education teacher. We get those calls every day, and until we don't get those calls, I worry about the schools, you know, being able to properly educate.
And I'll add one more to that. Hey, we need a math teacher that can also coach softball. Hey, we need a math teacher that can also coach basketball. And so there's come that more roles involved.
It does. So many different. Again, you go back to those hats, but the needs can be so specific. And when there are very few choices, there are very few choices.
That's right.
You know, and it makes it difficult on the schools. You'd mentioned having that background. So one of the questions that I always ask is, who was your favorite teacher growing up? And a lot of times that person has had an influence later on in life, but in school, who was your favorite teacher?
So I went through so many different schools between Parkview and Prescott. Miss Vick was one of my. I went through transitional one at, you know, that kindergarten to first grade. Parents kind of held me back for maturity reasons. Young boy going through, and so by the time I graduated, I was actually 19, just turned 19. But they did that just for an adolescent going through school. I want to make sure that I was appropriately aged. And, you know, she was probably one of the first teachers I remember. I guess I was known as maybe a teacher's pet, if you will, just because of the fact that everybody knew who I was. My parents were either a teacher in that system or maybe a former boss or whoever it may be. Then we had some other ones in high school. You know, I had several coaches. Steve Jones, he's still coaching at Prescott Baseball now, but he was my basketball coach. So he was one of my first school coaches, and that was a blessing. You got Bobby McWilliams at Upperman High School. He was my high school coach and went through a lot there. Jerry Watson was my baseball coach. Miss Nash, Penny Nash. She was a Upperman principal for a while, but she was one of my favorite teachers. Cheryl Rogers was a math teacher at school, and you know, it just became there's a melting pot of so many teachers that have helped me get to where I am today, and so pretty blessed.
Mm-hmm. And do you still see those influences? Are there things that those coaches did and teachers did that you find yourself doing in the classroom or on the field?
Absolutely.
Good and bad.
Absolutely. You know, and I get a lot of that from my mother. You know, I can remember being in the classroom and she was doing her planning for the next week or several days, and I would just be in there and she would do all these things, and I kind of catch myself planning certain things and kind of having that same demeanor. But I've really caught myself more recently into the coaching world, you know, with our ball teams, and I'll say something to the guys or give some sort of a description or some motivation or criticism, and I kind of take a step back and go, oh my gosh, that has sounded like Wayne Shanks. And it's not a bad thing. It's just it's what it is. That's who mm-hmm. I learned coaching up from. And so that situation kind of gives me a little bit more comfort that, hey, he taught me a lot of what I know, and I'm using that well. But if there is one person, it's probably Wayne Shanks, who's probably my biggest mentor and still is today.
Yeah, still is. And those influences, I mean, it's funny how they come through. And especially when people know your parents, then when they see you or they hear you say something, that they're quick to let you know that was just like your dad, or you're just like your mom when you said that. So, well, let's take a short break, and then we'll come back, and I want to talk a little bit about your classroom. I want to talk a little bit about the baseball team.
Absolutely.
Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, talking with Mr. Wes Shanks from Upperman, baseball coach and FFA teacher. So let's talk a little bit about your FFA teaching, and then I definitely want to get to the baseball. I have some questions about that as well. But FFA, we were talking a little bit off air, how it is very much like a head coaching role. I don't know if people who aren't actively involved in FFA realize the commitment and all the different moving parts involved with that.
You know, I mentioned Governor Lee earlier. Anybody in the state of Tennessee, CTE is career technical education, and that's what we've been pushing the last 4 or 5 years. But CTE used to be vocational education, and in today's times, the state and the local communities, Putnam County as well, is pushing a future ready and getting kids ready to go if they're not going to secondary or to higher education. Hey, let them be ready for the workforce. Mm-hmm. And so I'm the agriculture teacher at Upperman High School, and I teach the plant science pathway. Whitney Slatton is there with me as well. So we have a two-teacher program, and she teaches the animal science pathway. And we've got some great facilities. You know, I've got a greenhouse. It's gorgeous, and we love to get out there. And you got to think around the Smithville area, the Warren counties. It's mm-hmm. nursery capital of the world at one point. So I'm trying to get guys and girls ready, hands-on activities that doesn't make them fall asleep in the classroom, which is fun. But there's also, like you said, FFA, Future Farmers of America. That is our CTSO, our Career Technical Student Organization. So we've got president and vice presidents and our student-led organization that also has competitions. You know, we'll do livestock judging. We'll do nursery landscape design. We'll do anything from going to Gatlinburg for state convention for a whole week, or we'll go to national convention, which is Indianapolis. And so we're traveling just as much as a baseball or a basketball program might in the area for, you know, CTE, for FFA. And it's just as fun as far as coaching, because you get to see kids from when they come in high school level, freshman year, kind of scared, kind of timid, and they get to grow into these roles. And for agriculture education, those leadership roles, they can turn into jobs in a hurry. You know, you mm-hmm. can pull someone's leadership out and see what their growth and their development is. And those are the ones that the ones you're talking about, bosses calling, hey, I need people for this. Mm-hmm. And that's the ones we get to promote a lot. And so it's a very intense job as well, just because of the length of time. We're going to FFA week down in Doyle here next week. So it'll be a Camp Clements. It'll be fun down there too. So there's a little more to it than just a typical social studies or a math teacher. There's a little more length, duration on the weekends and travel. But it's also what makes it fun.
Yeah, and very rewarding. I imagine even with something just like the greenhouse alone, you know, that skill, because we all like to fancy ourselves gardeners, but sure. but to have that skill that you've had time to develop and learn the science behind it. I mean, to me, like that's a skill that you carry with you beyond school, regardless of whether you do it professionally or not.
No, and that's one thing a lot of people tell you, hey, oh, I remember doing that in high school and I remember this, or I'm doing this garden now, or these hydroponics, and these kids are learning that and they see what their parents do or what their grandparents do, and so they're already interested. And one thing about your electives in high school, you get to choose that pathway. Mm-hmm. And so between your nursing, your shop, you've got many other different areas that people could, like culinary, but they get to choose agriculture. And there's mm-hmm. a reason, they're in that classroom. And that's when you know, it's pretty exciting when a kid wants to be in your class, because it's not everybody wants to do math. Not everybody right. wants to do English. But, you know, when agriculture comes around, it may be their most favorite class of that day. And so that's also pretty rewarding.
Mm-hmm. Now, do y'all have like plant sales and vegetable sales and things like that through the year?
We do. Towards the end of the year, we have a plant sale, and right before Mother's Day. So we do a lot of flowers. We typically try to do some tomatoes and peppers, not do too awful much. But that is a great fundraiser, and people are in this community very supportive. You know, the Upper Cumberland as well, they would love to give to a school and give back to a school. And the program's grown since I've been there, and it's self-sustaining. You know, whatever mm-hmm. money we bring in, we get to put right back into it for the next year. But there's also a lot of financial help from the state and our CTE departments too. But yeah, any kind of fundraiser for FFA, because of those affirmation trips we get to go on, we get 20 kids to go to Gatlinburg, or 20, you know, maybe 30. And then we take about 5 or 10 to go to National Convention in Indianapolis. And that's got the blue corduroy jacket, the black pants, and it's a exciting sight to see. Mm-hmm. The kids will remember that for the rest of their days, and it's something that they look forward to.
Yeah, and have success with that. Which, you know, just going to that national event is a big deal for, you know, someone from a smaller community. I think it's a
big exposure.
Experience is a big deal.
Yeah, big exposure to that kid who, you know, we don't know how every kid is or how they grow up. You know, different environments, different situations. We've had kids where they may not be able to travel outside the state at all. Mm-hmm. And that school event might be the one chance that they get to have that opportunity to get that knowledge or experience, to get exposure for whatever job it may be. If it's a job at state convention, at an expo, that someone says, hey, have you ever, you know, ran a bulldozer? Have you ever been in a greenhouse? Have you ever been on a farm? You know, whatever those situations might be, you're really exposing those kids. And that's why we're here, right? That's mm-hmm. why the county pushes those events. That's why we, as teachers there in the school system or at Upperman High School, Baxter FFA, that's why we push them. And we want to try to grow, not only grow our programs, but grow our students and our community.
Mm-hmm. And having that, to me, you know, again, coming from a small town, our vocational, we had all of our vo-tech stuff was at a centralized location
right.
in the county. And so it wasn't readily accessible. And so to me, it's such a huge perk with Upperman and CHS having access right there in the buildings. And I know your programs have expanded over the years as Upperman has become more established and got more enrollment, but just having access to that and giving students options is huge in my mind.
And you got the, you know, 4-H, 4-H Extension Office here locally, your soil conservationist around, your community, your governmental community issue or around the area also really pour into the school system, because they know, hey, our next generation of workers is going to be the kids in schools as well. So, yes, it really does thrive on, you know, giving back to the schools. But it's one of those things, too, that those kids that come out and are very successful with our 4-H or FFA in the agricultural department, they find jobs pretty quick.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And lots of teachers, principals, talked to some of the fine arts people, and I see, in my mind, I see things that are similar, you know, mm-hmm. having students just being able to hone in on their interests or find that group, that belonging, that place where they belong, and they click with others, and they can really pursue something they're passionate about versus kind of just being lost, you know, off by themselves trying to navigate high school and teenage years. I think is a big deal.
That skill you're talking about, I think, you know, it. We don't know, a lot of kids, myself included, when I went to college, I had no clue what I wanted. I took an education class here. I took some environmental classes, agriculture, some history, you know, all different variety of topics. But it still took me being a surveyor for 10 years, and I came back to education. So that can also change as well. So just being very broad in your education can be great, but you're not wrong. When these kids find something that they really home in on as their skill that motivates them, you know, what's the saying? If you find something you do that you love, you'll never work a day in your life. Mm-hmm. And that's what these kids are really homing in on. I see a lot more technology-based items that they're picking nowadays. Mm-hmm. But it's but either way, we're learning and adjusting with the times as well.
Yeah, for sure. And it's exciting to see that progress along the way. Well, let's take a short break, and we'll come back, and I want to talk a little bit about baseball. Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, talking with Mr. Wes Shanks, Upperman High School baseball coach, FFA teacher, among other things. Not a bus driver. We have established that, although you wear a lot of hats. So Upperman baseball. Tell us how you got into that. Did you just – Was it part of the teaching?
It's one of those opportunities to get into education with a coaching position, and it was the right time. And you know, my life, my family's life is like, let's go for this. My wife had just gotten into education. What a good time for both of us to get on the same schedule as well, and it fit. And so this is going into just completed my sixth year as a teacher and a head baseball coach up in high school. It's been a fun ride. We just got done a little less than 2 weeks ago, which if you're playing almost in June, you've been successful.
Doing well. Mm-hmm.
And so this year we were 24 and 27 and 14, and we made it to the state tournament for the third time in 4 years. We're graduating six seniors starters this year, and five of those guys had been starting for the 4 years. And this same bunch, you know, we were. You know, blessed enough to play well and win a state title in 2022. We got back to the state title game in 2023, fell short as runner-up, got to a sectional series last year, and won an exciting sectional series this year to get back to the state tournament where we won our first game and then ended up getting beat twice in a double elimination tournament. But it's been that's just your postseason record and postseason play. But our program's really grown. We've done a great job. The field looks great. The ball players, the students. You know, I mentioned earlier, my dad was a baseball coach for I think 17 years, if not more than that. But it was I've had some of his players' kids. You know, it's Baxter. It's a small community.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the players that my father coached and had success with, I've been fortunate enough to coach their kids, and we've had some success as well. And so that's a great tradition that I'm really thankful for at Upperman High School, and really excited for it to continue to grow. You know, we're now, when I graduated in 2004, we were a 2A school, you know, classification-wise, mm-hmm. size-wise. Mm-hmm. When Dad was around, it was Class A, mm-hmm. and now we're 3A as far as four classifications. So we're not a small school. And mm-hmm. if you've been around Baxter and Highway 70 and all the development off of Exit 280, I mean, you see the growth, not just in Baxter, but Cookeville, Putnam County, everywhere. Mm-hmm. But we're classified as a large school now, and we are still competing at the highest level. And it's been some exciting times for the last couple seasons. And like I said, we're looking forward to more of it.
Yeah, and you've been doing it for a few years. First of all, there's a lot of pressure. So congrats on the success to the players and to you for making it into those postseason times. I have some theories on the success, and I wonder if this will be able to continue with Upperman being a small school, or historically a small school. I feel like at least at one of the things I saw at Coalfield, going to Coalfield High School, there are a lot of kids. I graduated because it's a K-12 school still today.
Oh, wow.
It's a
K-12. Yeah.
And so I graduated with 20 kids that I started kindergarten with. And so those of us that did play ball, and I played basketball, but I was right there. All my friends were playing on different teams. To me, there's something in the chemistry of playing with five or six people from the time when you're five. You know, as soon as you start playing, if you're playing with those kids and you are sticking together all the way through. That's one of my theories of success, but I'd like to hear yours, because it, I mean, Upperman has been very, very successful across the board in sports, not just baseball.
I agree with you, and you know, and the kind you were alluding to, I think, is culture, not just in one program, but our school's mentality. You know, we say we are Upperman. Athletics at Upperman. We are an athletic school. Well, we're also an educational school, and we take pride in that as well. But it's been very noticeable, the athletics, with the football team two seasons ago getting to the state title game for the first time ever, a couple Final Four runs. The men's basketball team, which I was also a part of with the state tournament team in 2002, won their first ever state title this past season. The girls' basketball has three state titles with Coach Danny McWilliams as well. Baseball now has three state titles. And so softball made it to the state tournament last year. The wrestling had two guys that made it and were state champions. We've got Mia Moss was a state champion in track. So there's a lot of, I guess you would say, culture or success stories from Upperman. But to allude back to kids playing together growing up, it's a core group that you play with, and we've had a couple of those that have played together since Little League or travel ball, and they get up to the high school level, and they do know each other very well. They know each other's roles. They know what they're good at, and it just keeps growing off that. You see that in some of these younger volleyball or basketball teams where they start so early in middle school and then playing travel ball. Well, there's a reason for that. The parents want, and the coaches both want, everybody to be as successful as they can be. And those are some steps that we all take today to help our kids with that. And so it's definitely been rewarding. We've seen some success because of all the youth programs building, but it's been really exciting.
And it does change the nature. I know it's been a few years since I played. We'll go back. I graduated high school in 96, so it's been a few years. But travel ball wasn't really a thing. I mean, there was and especially in smaller communities. You know, I knew that it was happening in some of the larger schools and bigger cities, but it just wasn't really a thing that everybody did. You know, I feel like now, you almost have to be involved in travel ball, at least in middle school, to be competitive in high school. And as a coach, obviously, you would love for people to come into their freshman year with that skill set built. But how do you kind of temper that? Because you still want kids to be kids. There's balance there. But as a coach and a parent, how do you temper that? What does it look like?
And everybody's going to have their opinion on that. You know, some coaches may differ on opinions. Parents may differ on opinions. I can even remember discussing it with grandmother one time, and she just kind of looked at me and said, "We were never that busy." Because when she was growing up or when dad was growing up, you know, they played during the season. When it was winter, you played basketball. Mm-hmm. When it was spring, you played baseball. In fall time, you played football, and that's about it. You only had the three sports now between lacrosse, soccer, volleyball, baseball, football, basketball, and I'm probably leaving – bowling's another one. Leaving several out. We've got an esports team that's very successful now. So there's so many more options, and there is a fine line, in my opinion, because I can see when kids are getting tired of their sport. You know, one thing you really want to have is the excitement. You really have to bring that as a coach and be a motivator, because you want your kids to give the best effort. Well, if they're not excited to be there, they're not going to give you their best effort. And so you got to – that's one thing, one role, one hat you're talking about, that you got to just understand the kids' mental aspect of it. So when we have our fall workouts, the kids are motivated because they're coming from summer break and they're excited. But we have a down period, you know, especially with arms. In baseball, you get fatigued with your arms. We have a mandatory no throw for 2 months in fall break time just to kind of let the kids' bodies heal, because in the past, where you might have a football, baseball player, now they're kind of, because they're looking at one sport specifically, they're isolating themselves, and their body doesn't really have time to heal properly. Because you got to think, these high school kids, a lot of them going through puberty, and they're, you know, not every one of them goes through puberty at that same time. Their bodies are changing. They're getting physically stronger, but they're still adolescents, you know, mentally. And so once we get to the baseball season, hey, they're very excited again because we've had some downtime. But fortunately for us, we've played for about 4 months the last couple of years. You know, most teams are playing 2.5 to 3 months, and that's their season. They're done. But we've gotten a lot of extra ball games in the month of May that some high schools don't because of the success. And I've really seen, and then here's what some experience that I can give to you about it. The state tournament runs that we've had, I have seen so much intensity, not just at the physical level, because by the time you put the playoff baseball or any kind of sport high school level, the kids know what they're doing. They've been coached. Mm-hmm. They've been trained. They know what they're doing. They know their roles and responsibilities. When you get to the game, hey, it's just make it happen, right? And we've had those opportunities. And once we got done with that very last game of the season, the state tournament, whatever it may be, I just kind of saw the weight come off these kids. They just looked like they were zombified. Like, whew, they were just so intense and focused for us that much time that it was timely fine for them to step back and breathe. Mm-hmm. And that's a testament to how ready these high school athletes really are and how ready they want to be and focused. I mean, to be able to say, I won a state title is an amazing dream for a lot of these kids. But you understand, too, the effort of the consistency of workouts, summer programs that you have to put in just to even put yourself in that situation. And so these kids now, man, they look like college players at the high school level. And hopefully they'll have the opportunity to move on. But it's high school sports in today's time has almost become the new college, you know, and we see it at the middle school level. Some of these middle school programs are almost like the new high school level. Mm-hmm. So it's becoming a lot earlier in a student athlete's, career. But as a society, we're adapting to that. It does make mom and dad a lot busier, but it's been something that's enjoyable to watch too. But there is like you said, a balance in parents. I would, like to advocate and just kind of encourage them to, hey, take some time off in summer or a winter break here or there. Go take them camping. Go out to the beach and let them reset, refresh, because not only athletics is very stressful. Remember, we're student athletes. Mm-hmm. And so these students, I just got off the, with email with our counselor about some GPAs. I'm trying to put our team GPA out there. We're students first. Mm-hmm. And that's the first priority, and then practice is after that. You know, the sport is after that. So you can just tell that these kids, there's probably a little more stress on their shoulders than what was on our shoulders growing up. I think everybody's handling it well, but we still want to make sure that these kids are still going to be kids and remember the fun times, not through just sports and education, but as a whole.
Mm-hmm. And it is a balance, and I'm glad to hear you say that, just thinking through that you're intentional – with the students, because you kind of think you're superhuman when you're 16. And so having that guidance, I think, is important. And to get to that level and compete. So I appreciate your time. We've run out to the end. So thanks for coming out. Appreciate you talking to us.
We appreciate it. Yeah. Go Bees.
Yeah. Thank you.